going to hear the statement several times this morning. One of the most significant things we do is, and this is another one of those most significant things we do is, and I'm going to ask Ben if you'll come up. Ben has been so faithful in playing for our worship team and just being an all-around helper. And Ben has been dealing with cancer for a while now. He's been going through treatments and chemo and traveling up to Chicago quite a bit. And he's headed out this afternoon right at the end of the service for surgery in just a matter of days up there, serious surgery. And we want to do our part, and we are glad to do our part as the body of Christ and to pray for them, for Ben and for Mary, and to support them in any way we can. And so we want to publicly pray for Ben this morning. And I invite you, as our worship team this morning is up here surrounding him, would you stand with me? And if you're so inclined, you can grab the hand of the person next to you as nothing special, but just a way of, in a sense, our participating in this. And would you join me in prayer as we pray for Ben this morning? Our Father, we come to you, and we are so grateful that you are a part of this service. In fact, you are to be the point of our service. Everything we do, everything we say, we want to spotlight the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, especially in my position, never want to take the spotlight off of Jesus. It is a privilege to come before you. It is also our joyful responsibility to come to you on behalf of brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for the work of grace and mercy that you have done in Ben's life in bringing him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. We thank you for the faithfulness, the sweet spirit that is such a tremendous example to me and to our church body. And as they have gone through these challenging moments with the health situation, we thank you for the way that you have worked, for the encouragement that you brought to them, and peace even in the difficult times. And it is our responsibility to continue to remember them in prayer, and we do pray for the peace even in the uncertain times. Lord, we know that you are all-powerful. You can, and at times you do heal miraculously on this earth. And we would not be remiss. We would ask that it would please you to please us to give Ben a complete healing. And whether that be through, even without medicine, we would welcome that. If it's through medicine, and through the skills of the surgeon and the drugs that you have made available, we embrace that and we thank you for that. And we are reminded, as we have just sung, that for all of us who are followers of Jesus, our best days are ahead of us, and one day we will step into eternity. So we need to be ready to step into eternity today, and with that peace of God, we can make our way through the lack of peace moments in this life with a sense of calm and uncertainty. And we thank you for already giving that to Ben and Mary, and we ask that you'd continue to give those gifts to him. We commit their days ahead to you. We ask for safety as they travel up to the Chicago area for a great day for the surgeons and all the medical staff from their standpoint. And Lord, we trust you for the results. Lord, thank you that we can be a body of believers, the body of Christ, and support and love one another. And we do that for Ben and Mary this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Lord bless you.
Thank you. Pastor. You bet.
Appreciate it. Invite you to take your scriptures. In just a few moments, we're going to come to the communion table. I'd like to go back to that portion of scripture that I shared with you to begin the baptismal service in Acts chapter 2. We'll look at that, and then we'll move over to 1 Corinthians 11 in just a moment. As I said at the start of the service, one of the most significant things we do as a church is to celebrate baptism. And we celebrate the working of God in Michaela's life and in Cletus's life, drawing them to faith in Jesus Christ for their public declarations. It's a reminder for each of us in our relationship with God. And here we are this morning, and you in somehow, some form, some fashion have been brought here, and you have a special moment to interact with eternal truths and the God of the universe this morning. And this is an opportunity that none of us wants to waste or miss. One of the most significant things we do is what we're about to do as we come to the communion table. In verse 41 and 42 of Acts chapter 2, so then those who had received his word were baptized. That day there was added to the church about 3,000 souls. Verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. One of the wisest things you can do is to put yourself under the consistent, clear, and correct teaching of the Word of God. And you have that opportunity here each week to fellowship. And that's what we do, encouraging one another and enjoying one another. Even with all of our uniquenesses and varieties, we interact and support one another. Then it says, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And we've just prayed for a special need just a few moments ago. But to the breaking of bread, and we understand that as we search the scriptures, that's a reference to communion, to the Lord's Supper. And one of the most significant things we do as a church, the body of Christ, is to celebrate communion, the supper of the Lord. The celebration moment is a gift from God. It's a gift of God for our short memories. Now, if you look around, do you see anybody here with a short memory? Hey, just look up here. Don't worry about anybody else. Just look at me. Here's the guy with the short memory. You know, we all tend to forget so much too fast. If we're out about this afternoon and we take a drive through Northeast Ohio to a little village called Mantua, let me just encourage you, do not drive through this village with a dog sitting on your lap. Now, you weren't thinking of driving through Northeast Ohio with a dog sitting in your lap a moment ago, were you? Now you are. Well, if you drive through this little village in Northeast Iowa, do not drive through town with a dog in your lap. Evidently, this is a problem, and the government officials have decided to take care of the problem. They've instructed the police officers to aggressively ticket every dog-sitting driver that they encounter. For their own safety, but also for the safety of the community. Don't drive with a dog in your lap. Distracted drivers are at risk themselves. They are also risking the safety of the community. There is something even more serious than distracted driving, and that is distracted living. Especially for the Christian. A Christian is one who knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There has come a point in our life where we understand that we are not perfect people, but God is perfect. And God cannot look on our imperfection. He can't look at sin, and we are in a world of hurt. But God loved us so much that he gives us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, lived a perfect life, and took our place on the cross where we rightfully deserve to die and for our sins and pay the penalty for our sins eternally, which still would not have brought us peace with God. And in repentance and in faith we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the free gift of salvation. That's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be born again, to be a Christian. For us as Christians, it is very dangerous to live distracted lives. It's very dangerous for his church as a whole to live distracted from what is the essential, and that is the lordship of Jesus Christ in everything. Distracted living for Christians is wasteful living. And this table before us is an instrument from heaven itself and heaven himself for us in our distracted living. The communion celebration is a gift from God for our short and often distracted lives. Jesus celebrated communion. He celebrated the Lord's Supper. In fact, the last night of his earthly life and ministry was wrapped up and wrapped around the Passover celebration. And that night, for the first time, it was the completed Passover celebration in anticipation of what was going to happen over the next couple of days. Jesus celebrated the Lord's Supper. And again, that for my short thinking mind, short remembering mind, that sets off bells and highlights in my life that if Jesus did this, it's important for me to see it, to understand, and to participate as he calls me to participate. We celebrate the completion of the Passover picture. Began back in the book of Exodus with the beginnings of the Jewish nation. The lamb was slain, the blood applied to the doorpost in anticipation of the Messiah who would come and no longer just give a temporary covering for a sin, but a complete covering for sin. And as Jesus Christ shared with his disciples on that first communion night, we see the completion, in a sense, of the whole message of Scripture. Jesus did this, and this, as baptism, is also a picture of eternal truths. As we come to the communion table, there is bread, there is juice, and those are all pictures centered around Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his life. The life he lived, the death he died, and the life he lived after that, and the life that he lives today, and the new life that he can bring to us as well. At Christmas time, our thoughts are drawn to the time where the Messiah was born as a baby in Bethlehem. That baby was fully God, it was fully man. And Jesus Christ today is fully God and fully man, sitting at the right hand of his Father, interceding for us as our Lord and Savior. He came to live and he came to die. His death was 100% effective. We have a perfect life. We have a perfect death for imperfect people, for you and for me. And in the picture of communion, again, we have a picture of the victorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. Life, death, life. And the opportunity for us to have a life that is centered around the victorious working of Jesus Christ in our life. And this is a moment of celebration. It is also a moment of responsibility. Jesus did this. It's a picture of his life, his death, and his life. And Jesus commands his church to do this. And that's what we see in the history of the early church. They were focused on the continual celebration of communion together. The communion celebration is a privilege responsibility given to local churches. And today, as we proclaim, number one, that we are a Jesus Christ follower. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And that means we're proclaiming, in a sense, the entirety of Scripture, and especially the New Testament and the teaching of Jesus Christ. We are proclaiming his life, his death, and his life. We are proclaiming that we have moved from that of that position of a sinner to that of a born-again Christian. Imperfect, still sinning, but embracing the blood and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So for those who come to the table this morning, we are proclaiming we are a Christ Jesus follower. He is Lord of our life and Savior of our souls. Not only that, but in verse 24 and 25, we are reminded that we also are making a few statements regarding our present life. Verse 24, Jesus, when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you." Now understand, Jesus is there present at that time. He's holding up a piece of bread, and there's several moments in this, but we're just going to look at this one particular aspect. He's holding up this piece of bread. He's not saying this bread is my literal flesh and bones, because he was there. He's giving us a picture. This bread represents my body. It represents my life and my death, my complete sacrifice for you. He goes on to say, as he's holding up the cup, "This cup, new covenant in my blood." Again, his blood is still flowing through his body. So the juice hasn't become literal blood. It is a picture, a symbol of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the eternal truths behind that, the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of his death, the power of his life. You know, I can die for you, you can die for me. We can shed our blood for each other, and that may be an admirable moment of love, of affection, of just common expression of support for one another, but from an eternal perspective, my dying for you will mean nothing. It'd be one sinner dying for another sinner. You dying for me, I appreciate that. Thank you. But again, that will do me no good from an eternal perspective. One sinner dying for another sinner. We needed something. We needed someone beyond ourselves. And what we have is the person of Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, living a perfect life, dying a perfect death for us as imperfect people. And Jesus tells us, eat this, drink this in remembrance of all that this means. Remember the picture of the bread. Remember the picture of the juice and their meaning as it is expressed and lived out in my life. As we come to the communion table, we are saying, I am a Christ Jesus follower. We are also saying, as a Christ Jesus follower, I acknowledge that I only have one life, and it belongs to Jesus. I only have one life, and it belongs to Jesus. We are not our own. Scripture says we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in everything we do. And in verse 28, we have the sobering reminder in this celebration that we are to come with seriousness, with honesty, and with openness. We are to examine ourselves. And in this passage, it warns us not to come to the communion table lightly. Remember last Sunday, I encouraged you to think about and prepare for this moment. Have we come in here prepared? in our relationship with God, in our relationship with others. We are not to come to this table lightly. We are to examine ourselves, verse 28. Examine ourselves, deal with what the Spirit of God calls us to deal with, and then come. As followers of Jesus, we are commanded to come, but we are commanded to come in the right way. I'm a Christ Jesus follower. I only have one life, and it belongs to Jesus. And verse 28, today is a fresh start in my Jesus journey. As we come to this table, we are to acknowledge our sin, we are to repent of our sin, and we are to come. You may have come in here this morning and not had a relationship with Jesus. And truth is, if you would have died as you walked in this morning, you might not have known where you'd be, whether it's heaven or hell. And right now, you might be uncertain if you were to die in this moment where you would be eternally. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And in this moment, in this very second, you can turn to Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins and to come into your life and save you. And the greatest moment in your life will be now highlighted by coming to the communion table for the first time in the right way. And I invite you to do that right now. And for the rest of us in the room, some of us, we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. But we all come in each week with dirty feet, like we talked about last week. We have this habit of not being perfect. We have this habit of sinning. And sometimes we don't want to do it, and sometimes we do want to do it. But the fact is, we do it in thought and action. We still violate the holy character of God. And the solution is, we don't have to be re-saved again, but we do need to come again in repentance to God, confess those sins, and receive the cleansing that he offers to us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 is written to believers. If we confess our sins, God is faithful to cleanse us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we come to this communion table, this is the opportunity for a clean start, in our Jesus journey. And you can come and come having your sins forgiven for the first time as you've come to faith and trust in Jesus. And for all of us, we can and we must come with a clean heart. It means we've confessed our sins and we've taken care of the relationship with God. And that spills also over into our relationship with others. Distracted living is far more dangerous than distracted driving. The communion table calls us to again refocus on Jesus Christ as the center of our life. This moment and its meaning must not be wasted. This is a serious celebration, and this celebration is a gift from God for our short memories, our too often distracted lives. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And in this moment, in this time, you have heard the eternal truth and you have the opportunity to respond to it. We're about to come to the table. This is a table for believers. We don't embarrass anybody. We don't spotlight anybody. But this is between you and God in making the right connections. And here's the statements as we come to the table. I'm a Jesus Christ follower. I only have one life, and it belongs to Jesus. Today is a fresh start in my Jesus journey. I'm going forward with Jesus Christ. Invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. a way to just kind of close ourselves off from the rest of the world. And this is your moment to deal with the God of the universe, to make peace with God on his terms, and then to come to this table in just a moment. Those who are serving, I'd ask that you join me now, and I will have a word of prayer in just a moment. Father, one of the most significant things we do as a church is to celebrate baptism. We have done that. We celebrate the work of grace in people's lives, and we trust that it is a work of grace that is also ongoing in our life. We have celebrated or experienced support and love for one another as we have prayed for others in their times of challenge and need, and now we are celebrating the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the same time, we rejoice and are reminded that God's not done with us yet, and he continues to work in our life. Our responsibility is to follow your guidance and your direction in our life. And this table is a moment where we have opportunity, we have responsibility to once again celebrate our life around the Lord Jesus Christ. As we participate this morning, we are reminded through the bread of the complete sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we drink of the juice, we are reminded of the power of Jesus' life and death through his shedding of blood, a complete covering of our sins. And with that, we celebrate. Lord, thank you for your grace, for your mercy, and allowing us to do this together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. I'm delivering to you what the Lord Jesus has given to me on the night in which he was betrayed. He gave thanks. He broke the bread and said, "This is my body. It's broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Jesus took the cup, said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Drink, and as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we are reminded of the bitterness of your death from your perspective. And yet we sense that you did it with a sense of anticipation, even celebration as well. And those thoughts are appropriate for us. We are horrified that that's what our sin demanded. We are grateful that you willingly paid the price for us. This morning, may we leave here with that fresh step in spirit in each of our hearts and lives, all because of what Jesus has done for us. In his name we pray, amen.